worldly relationships, which are overly familiar, and we start taking people that we love the most for granted, right? And how many people know when you start taking someone for granted, whether it be your best friend or, you know, your spouse or the person you're dating or even a coworker, right? That causes a decline in that relationship. So I was trying to figure out what to call it, and I changed the name a couple times. And right before I got up here, I was like, we're going to call it Getting the Spark Back, Worship, Part 1, Getting the Spark Back. So if you're like, Pastor Sherry, I'm not married. It's okay. I wasn't married for a really long time. Just think a relationship that you care about. Follow? All right, so I'm going to take some time to brag on my husband. I gave him a heads up about it so he wouldn't get, you know, it's okay. I want to brag about him. You know, Brad and I met about 5 years ago, and we've been married for 3 years, and we met online. That's like most people these days. He pulled up in this fantastic SUV. You know, an SUV that was well-loved, that looked like a work truck. But I was like, this man knows how to work. And in the back of it was a giant saw, which was his excuse to pick me up because there was a saw in the area, which was really like in the opposite direction that he picked up on the way to take me to lunch. And I looked in the back and I was like, tons of tools and a work truck with a giant saw. I was like, yes, this is the kind of man I want to date. And he took me to lunch at a Thai restaurant, which is one of my favorite kind of foods. And we just started, you know, what is it? We started dating. We started getting to know each other. And getting to know someone means asking questions and talking sometimes about things that maybe they want to talk about, right? How many people know in a relationship we often want to talk about what we want to talk about? And we need to invest and ask questions, and that's how you really get to know someone's heart. And certain layers come out. And I quickly found out that my now husband had such a passion for worship, which is what caught my attention on his dating profile. And also to teach it and so forth. And I was really surprised because I was captivated by him. You know what I mean? Now, Brad and I are night and day different. Like, ask anybody. I mean, we're tall people. That's it. We're tall people, and we like to laugh. But I was so captivated because I was always learning. I was learning not only something about him, about the world around him. I so enjoy still listening to my husband. And dating is getting to know someone, right? And even just hanging out with a new friend, it's getting to know someone. And like I said, I want you, as I talk about, think about marriage here, or think about a relationship that you want to deepen. If you want to deepen any relationship or strengthen that relationship, you want to find out about what they like and what they don't like, right? Even if you're hanging out with, it could be even a new coworker, right? Or maybe your new boss. Find out what they like and what they don't like. So there are preferences. Everybody has preferences. So if you talk to my husband about what kind of movie he wants to watch on date night, anything with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Don't judge us. There's Jingle All the Way. It's fine. It's fine. Okay? So he loves Arnold Schwarzenegger. We even consider baby names for any Schwarzenegger movie. Like Dutch is not a cool baby name, but that was a Schwarzenegger name. It's fine. So I'm getting to know him. My husband also loves songs with ridiculous lyrics. You know the ones that you're like, oh, I can't get that song out of my head. Like, just ridiculous. And he'll play them on road trips. And I was like, no, not that song list. Oh, my gosh. All right. He loves soft pretzels, which I support. And we're always on, we fell in love right before the pandemic. So we just hit every ice cream and soft pretzel place out there because that was all that was open during the pandemic later. And he loves Indian food. He can never get enough. If you ask him what kind of food he wants, Indian food with endless garlic naan. Just loves it. Loves it. He also loves a good black and white detective film noir and any excuse to watch the old school animated Batman with my son Zeke, which I love. Come on, I'm a kid of the 90s. We love Batman. There weren't any other superheroes before Batman. He loves to unwind with woodworking, having a good soda, and playing guitar. And, you know, if you ask my Brad, what he wants to do on, like, you know, it's Saturday, and for some reason he got me out the door before noon because I am, like, the slowest person in the world and just want to stay in my PJs all day long. He would love to just drive a really far away place to go to a music store with 1,000 guitars, and we're going to look at every single guitar. And and then get Indian food, and then maybe he'd want to go shooting, right? He'll go to the range. I found this, that I love watching that spark come in my husband's eyes when not only I'm doing things that he likes to do, but also talking about things he likes to talk about. Because when his heart is full and rich, when I want to connect with him, he wants to connect with me. And it's a beautiful thing. It's like when I invest in that relationship, he also wants to invest in me too. So, you know, it's give and take. But this is message is not just all about my husband. It's all about the Lord. You keep going. That's right. I will. Man, Sunday's going to be awesome. I've learned to, now my husband, I'm a talker. I'll talk myself in circles. This is, you're welcome. I could be here till 1 o'clock, but don't worry. I'll get you out at noon. Brad is someone you have to listen to. You got to ask the right questions and you need to give him time to talk. And sometimes sitting with my husband in silence is a really good investment and he'll open up the layers of his heart. And these are things because I love and honor my husband. I would not share the most vulnerable hopes and dreams of my husband's heart. But they're things that come out in the quiet, in the waiting, in the stillness of just being. When you study marriage in the Bible, when you study about relationships in the Bible, like I said, even just talking about your best friend, you'll find that there's a lot of parallels with building a healthy relationship, with building a healthy relationship with Jesus, our Lord, and worship life. And I want to talk about that because in the Bible, there's a beautiful picture, and you don't have to turn to it, but in Revelations chapter 19 and 21, this is verses 7 through 9 and 1 through 2. I have 1,000 scriptures, so you can look it up later. There is a lot of imagery in the Bible of how Jesus describes his church. He makes an analogy, an imagery of his church, us, right? The believers in Jesus as his bride, as his beautiful fiance bride. And it says that when Jesus comes back for his church in the rapture, there's going to be a wedding feast and a celebration. And how many people know on your wedding day, you were so excited? For men, how excited were you to see your bride walk down the aisle towards you and that beautiful, right? Come on. Like, I mean, I still remember my husband's face is so beautiful. I don't have a picture of it, but I never forgot. The doors were open. Mom was walking me down the aisle and my husband got this beaming smile and he smacked Reuben, my friend that's now in heaven. He whacked him like this, like, look at my wife. That's my girl. You know, it was just that moment. I couldn't read his mind, but just that response of how excited he was to marry me. I'll never forget. And all right, so what are we talking about? Yes, I'm bragging on my husband. Yes, I'm talking about marriage and relationships, but all this is an analogy for getting the spark back in our relationship with God and our worship life. So once again, throughout the Bible, and I'm going to give you some scriptural proof because I'm going to build on something. There's a lot of scripture that talks about how Jesus is the bridegroom, the groom, and we, his church as a collective, are his beautiful bride that he is so longing to spend time with and spend the rest of his life with and all of eternity. It's really a divine romance, which is one of the titles I was looking at. I was like, what man's going to click on divine romance? I'm like, getting the spark back. More men will click on that one. It's fine. All right, Isaiah 62, verse 5. It says, as a young man marries and commits himself to his bride. How many people know that marriage is hard work and commitment? There are those days that they just drive you nuts, and they want you to take out the trash when you walk the dog at 6 a.m., and you do not feel like doing it, but you are committed to that marriage, and you know that that's going to make your spouse really, really happy. Marriage is hard work sometimes. It's commitment. But it says just as a young man marries and commits to his bride, then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. The Lord rejoices over us, and there's a really cool study of what that rejoice, it means to like spin and dance. And like, I mean, it's exuberant how much God rejoices over us, his church, as his bride. Jesus is head over feet in love with his church. He's in love with you, whether you think you're worthy of it or not. How many people know that sometimes if you had a damaging past, maybe a family where you felt like you weren't loved or you had to earn love or you were never good enough or they always told you you messed up and you know, just rubbing your nose in your past, marriage might be really hard to receive the love. I remember my father telling my mother all the time how beautiful she was. All the time. She never heard it growing up. Told her he loved her every day, and he would just praise her. And I knew, even as a kid, my mom didn't believe it for a while. But man, my dad chased after my mama. And I saw that, made me feel real secure because my dad loves my mom, man. He loves us. He wants to connect with us. And Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 23 is a teaching of Paul on marriage and how you get a healthy relationship. Well, what's beautiful is he weaves in there imagery of how Jesus laid his life down for the church, how Jesus, the bridegroom, how he lays his life down. It talks about mutual submission. It talks about honor. It talks about cherishing someone. It talks about making them your first priority, even over your family, even though you're a little kid. Like, you know what I mean? There's richness in it. I felt like it wasn't where I was supposed to go, but I just want to say this. Any relationship advice you will find in the Bible, and it can be associated then, I really truly believe, with worship and developing our relationship with God. All right. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 3, in the Amplified says this. He says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It is important to fight to keep your marriage pure. And your thoughts, right? And how we treat them. And the simplicity, the beauty of honoring that person. It's important to fight to keep those things sincere. And how do people know this? That when you're missing that time with someone, they're jealous for the other loves in your life. Truly. You know, listen, husbands, wives, when they start giving more attention to the car or to the kids or the things they want to do for you, but you just want them to be attentive in that conversation, how many people know that you get jealous? How many fights have started out of that one, right? All right, so Jesus was teaching about something, and I'll develop it later, to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and this is John 4, 22 through 24. And Jesus taught the Samaritan woman, it is important to dig a deep relationship and know the God that we say we serve. Because everybody's like, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I read through the songs up there. It's good. I read my Scripture Day app. But how many people know that you can grow apart from someone when we're not having those deep moments with someone? So John 4, 22 through 24 says, you Samaritans do not know what you worship. We do not know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit from the heart, the inner man. This is what the Amplified says. Worshiping in spirit from my whole heart, my attention, right? Sincerely, and says in truth. And the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. This is the Amplified Bible. So God is looking for honesty, transparency, and vulnerability, not just going through the motions. You ever go through emotions in a relationship and you just feel kind of fake and shallow, a little disingenuous? The words on the screen, it's just a general, roadmap. And listen, at our church, we really work really hard to find songs that align with Scripture, that preach the gospel through song. Not just emotional, fluffy stuff because people like to hear it, that we try really hard, and it's actually very hard to do, to find scriptures that are scripturally sound, that are theologically sound. When we just mindlessly and like don't think about them, it's like picking out a Hallmark card and just reading it to your wife and go, hey, there you go, Hallmark said it really good. Right? No, but we appreciate you picking up the Hallmark card. We really do, you know? We appreciate the thought. You got to start somewhere sometimes. You know, they're like, hey, you know what? My spouse is having a really hard day. You know what? I'm just going to swing into the store, get some generic chocolates and a Hallmark card, and there you go. That's the start, right? It's a good, we listen, even if you don't like flowers, we're just so happy they thought of us, right? You thought of us. It's just a start. But the spark, the romance, what? Is when you actually tell us what we mean to you. And my husband's not like this, like he's a musician, but he's not the guy that writes poetry. My dad was a writing of poetry kind of person. But when my husband sees things and notices specific things in my life that you're not going to find on that generic Hallmark card, and he says that to me, my heart comes alive, and I get that spark. You see me, you know me. So listen, just reading through the words on the screen, that's a start. But thinking about those words, just under your breath, even just saying, God, thank you so much for saving my mom. I was praying for her for 30 years. God, thank you so much for healing my son Zeke from a cold this week in 24 hours. Thank you. God, you're so good. God, thank you. Thank you. My car is still working. God, you saved my transmission. Thank you. It's the stuff that, you know, the add-ons at the bottom of the card you write on. And that's the stuff. Come on, we kind of skim the words on the Hallmark card. But those little thoughtful mentions of thankfulness and gratitude, and I see you and I know you, and gosh, you look so handsome today. Those moments, the things that you write on, the things you add on, you don't have to sing it, you can say it. That's the stuff that gets all the spark. They know me. They see me. And it's the same with the Lord. It's important to fight to also stay on the altar of surrender. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies, dedicating yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice. We're going to now talk and shift gears about the sacrifice of praise. Holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational act of worship. It's the least I could do. Jesus, you saved me. You died on the cross for my sins. You took away the shame. Do you know what it's like to live with shame in your life? Where every day you are just beat up in your brain of your past, and Jesus nailed it to the cross where you don't have to be ashamed of your past anymore because it's not who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, my goodness. You get a revelation of that. It's the least I could do. It's just thank you. Every day. If you're not sure, thank you for saving me. It's the least, the most rational thing I can do for someone that saved my life is then show them some gratitude. Sometimes it's words, sometimes you show it. It's good when you do both, right? You know, sometimes as a spouse you want to hear it, sometimes you want it shown. When you do both, man, that's like a really good thing. It's the least we could do is worship him with our whole heart. And there's different ways to do that. We're going to talk about some today. It says, it's your rational act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values so that you may prove for yourselves what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. So what are we talking about? When I fight, how many people besides myself had 10 opportunities where your mind was thinking about something completely different during worship and it was fantastic today? And I'm rooting for that guy, man. He's not even wearing his black t-shirt where I can't even look at him. I just look at the ground. He's wearing a black t-shirt. No. Okay. It's awesome. It's anointed worship, but how many people get distracted because it's just life? So we have to fight to stay on the sacrificial altar because we want to wiggle off, especially when you don't feel like it, because how many people had a day? Anybody have a day? Anybody had a week? And you're like, if you only knew how my morning, all the terrible texts I woke up to because my boss doesn't understand, it's the weekend. And you know, the fight I just had on the drive here, you know, or if you only knew that I worked, and we have people, this is a very hardworking church, that work night shift and come here. I don't care if you sleep through church. Praise God you made it. My kid falls asleep in my arms. I was like, hey, Zeke's with me. I don't care if he sleeps during church. Listen, I'm not giving you permission, but you know what I'm saying? Thanks for coming. I get it. But sometimes, ready for this, when our emotions and our feelings don't feel like the romance, you had a rough day and you came home and the house is a mess and we're eating chicken nuggets again. Man, I'm not really feeling the romance tonight. Thanks. And then they complained about all the things I didn't get done this week. I'm watching Schwarzenegger tonight, baby. Turning that on. Turning the game on. Whatever. Okay. When we don't feel it, we want to wiggle off the altar, right? But the altar is the sacrifice. Sometimes I just want to, and listen, I'm going to say this. The Lord told me this morning. He said, make sure you say, listen, there are some people in our church that cannot physically do certain things because they're getting healing in their body. Okay. Do you hear me? So I just felt like the Lord just said that. Make sure you acknowledge that. So don't hear me on this one, but sometimes all we feel like doing is just sitting down with our coffee and texting on our phone during worship. Why? Because we're grumpy. I'm just going to drink my coffee. I'm not feeling it. You know what? They're not playing my songs. These are not my songs. You know, I like this type of music. I like that type of music. I don't like drums. I do like drums. I like organ. Whatever. It's just the packaging. What's in the box? My love. I'm not feeling the love today. You know what? When is commitment in a relationship about feeling it. Listen, you talk to some gray hair people, which is the people I always want to sit beside at every pastor's conference. Ask Brad. We have some favorite ministers that are like decades upon decades older than me. And Brad's like, hey, can we sit next to Pastor Clifton Martin? He's an amazing man of God from inner city Philly. And I will fight to get a seat next to him and his wife. And I ask them questions, and sometimes a little intimidating because they've been doing this for a really long time. And I just sit quietly so I can just learn wisdom. You want to learn wisdom about marriage? Talk to people who've been married a really long time. And it's not about because you're feeling it. It's the sacrifice. And we notice when you're not feeling it. And you had a really rough day at work. And the kids screaming. And you keep yourself on the altar. Even though your flesh is like, nope, I'm just not feeling it. And you go, I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to make your favorite dinner. Honey, I'm going to do the oil change in your car. It's not about works per se, but there's different avenues, right? We show him and we tell him. All right. So I've read a lot of counseling books on marriage. I outsource now. I was like, listen, I have a wonderful counselors and therapists that are Christian that I know. If you want someone, I'll tell you, like, listen, counseling and therapy is awesome. Marriage counseling, Brad and I both did marriage counseling. We have an incredible marriage. It's not perfect because we're always working on it. It's awesome. All right. So in these books, you will learn, or if you go to counselors, that oftentimes, and I want you to apply this principle to marriage and think about God because, you know, this is how we remember stuff. All right, we often project onto the person that we're in a relationship with, especially in marriage, we project onto them an idealized version of them. We see them many times the way we want to see them, and we put a weight and a pressure on them to be something for us that we want. How many people know that that is definitely not healthy? And sometimes it takes a while to actually speak up going, you know what, I'm really not into your fruitcake, but I just wanted to marry you. I thought you loved my fruitcake. No. All right, so we often project on this person. We often project on God to be something for us that he really isn't. We often project on him that, well, he likes worship like this because that's the way I like worship. There's a story I might develop later, and it's not in my notes, but one time I was like, listen, I've been to every kind of church. I'm friends with people of all different denominations. I have beautiful relationships in town, literally from like every conservative denomination to the ones that are like, wow, that's a lot. Just close your eyes and don't look. Okay, I've been to everybody's church. One time I was at a church, and there was a girl there in silver roller skates rolling around, and I went, that's how she wanted to worship. I don't know if God wanted her in her silver roller skates and shorts going around there in worship. You know, sometimes we project on God, this is how I want to worship you. But have we asked him how he wants our worship and praise? Or are we all making it about us? People are like trying to figure out what church, just forget about it. But like I had to give you something extreme. Because, you know, sometimes it's a slippery slope. Well, you know, I want to do this on stage, and I want to do that up front, and da-da-da. You know what? Maybe you do that at home, but here you probably are going to distract a lot of people from connecting with him, and maybe he says, honey, listen, I love you, and I appreciate that you want to do that, but that's a you and me thing. That's not a public thing. Do we ask him how he likes the romance, how he likes the worship, what he wants to do? Or are we projecting on him how we want it? All right, I'm going to develop this. This is fun. First of all, God gave us scripture. He defined himself in scripture. You know, when you introduce someone and then you tell someone, oh, this is my husband so-and-so, and they're into this, this, and this, and this, and this, and it's not accurate, it's what you want them to be, well, that's faith. No, that's you're projecting pressure on them, and that's not who they are. We need to allow someone to define themselves. You need to ask questions, listen, watch, and see who he is and how Jesus wants to receive love. You know, with a spouse or a friend, you want to know how they feel loved, honored, respected, right? They have those five love language things. Like in my house, my mom's awesome. She's not into your big squishy hug. Now, she'll take a hug and she'll give you one back because that's the way you receive love. But she wants to go weeding with you and mulching. And she just wants to do that with you. And that'd be so much fun. Or heck, you don't even have to. She'll just do it for you. She loves to serve. And also she gives, I was bragging about like the best baker and cook. I mean, she's just amazing. I was like, Mike wants the tri-colored cookies for Christmas, just so you know. Me too. But I told Mike to ask. We were bragging about how good they are. And I said, what we were talking is like, Mike, you ask and mom will do it because she loves you. And that's how mom shows love. Do you want the boiled Brussels sprouts without the bacon grease? You know, no. But that's what I thought they liked. Nope, that you're projecting on them. My grandma would have 50 kinds of vegetables. I actually love vegetables because how many know if you eat them long enough, you like them. But, you know, sometimes you project on someone, but this is what you like. And God's like, no, that's actually not how I said in Scripture how I wanted worship. But thanks for thinking of me. That's kind of what a surface relationship, right? All right. So it's important to show love to the person that you're a friend or relationship, whatever. I'll talk about my amazing husband here. It's important for me to show him love the way he wants to be loved. So when I'm like, honey, I have a date night planned for your birthday. It's going to be great. You're going to be loving it. We're going to go to an art museum. And then we're going to get sushi. And we're going to watch rom-coms all night long. And he's like, yeah. And he'll probably do that for me, right? Because that's his sacrifice, and he does that for me. It's really sweet. Then we hold hands. It's great. It's his sacrifice to me, but if I love Brad the way he wants to be loved and not project my interests and how I like to be loved on him, what are we going to do? We're going to pick up and drive to some place 2 hours away, go to their amazing music store, stay there for 2 hours, and get Indian food, you know, and then come home and watch Schwarzenegger, and then we're going to eat again because my husband wants pizza and quesadillas every night of the week. He never gets tired of it. I like pizza. But literally, like, the last Sunday, he's like, honey, do you want to go get pizza at Marco's? And I was like, I don't, but I love you. Let's get pizza because it's my third time eating pizza this week because I have a kid, okay? The sacrifice of my love towards him is doing things that he wants to do, showing him love. I don't feel like it. I just want to, you know, drink my coffee and watch church on TV. Okay. So God has written in his word preferences. His Bible is his love letters to us, and there's hard things and tough things, whatever, you know, in there. And he has told us in his word how he likes to be worshiped, how he likes to connect with you, how he likes to be loved. And if you love me, you'll do your commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what he said, right? So that's a whole other sermon over there, but it's important for us to not to project our desires on God and create God in our own image, which is an idol. Something to think about in worship. It's important that we don't just worship him the way we want and to start asking God and searching Scripture, how does he want to be worshiped? What does he want to talk about? If we don't, we'll create a very self-centered experience for us and maybe a shallow relationship. Sometimes we just love a version of someone else that caters to our needs. Sometimes we really make church all about me. Sometimes we pick songs because it just, you know, caters to our emotions. If I had a really hard week and I just want to wallow in the sadness of my life in the miry clay. You remember that song that in the miry clay? You didn't stay there, thankfully. But, you know, if you sing a song where it's four minutes of wallowing on how hard my life is, and everybody's like, I love that song. It just talks about what I want to talk about. What does he want to talk about? Praise and worship is very different. He wants to just, hey, why don't you just thank him? Thank him for the things he's done in your life. Why don't you tell him how good he was? Like the songs say, so good. By the way, oh man, there's things that even you did in your kid's song. I'm going to hit on it if I can get there. But how worthy is, he's my king. What were some of the lyrics? Because my brain has 5 hours of sleep. I don't know. That's okay. But you know, but the song was all about him, right? He and the glory, glory and honor. This is how I do all the songs here. That's my king. Okay, the song was about him. It wasn't about my really hard week. But they request that. How many songs do people send to you? You know, Brad, can we just play this song? I love this song. I love it. It feels so good. It feels so good. It feels really good when you go on a date and you talk about you the entire time and they eat your sushi and watch your rom-com. But we didn't ask them or listen to that. You follow me. You see where I'm going in worship here. In marriage advice and dating advice, relationships, it's fine. You just pull from it here. You know, a lot of our songs in worship are actually not about God. He wants you to say, I see you, I know you. You know, when you notice that, like the things you write in the Hallmark card, those things that you're like, no one else would know except someone that spends time with me. He wants you to talk about his character, his nature, who he is, the deeds he's done in the past, the things that you're just thanksgiving. And he's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my shelter, he's my healer, he's my deliverer, he's my savior, he's my prince of peace. Who he is as a person, he's mighty, he's a mighty God, he's wonderful, he's creator of the universe, he's the King of Kings. There's something about when I engage in a song that is all about him, where suddenly life is not all about me, and suddenly I'm not stuck in the me, and me was not doing good today anyway, I'm with him. And now I'm like, so far outside of those stuck emotions, I'm with him. And healing and freedom and all these things starts flowing. All right. God is a person, right? God in three persons, three distinct personalities. He is a person. He's not a feeling. He's not goosebumps. I felt goosebumps. That might not be God. It might be cold in here. You know, oh, I'm just feeling it. No, this is maybe because the cute guy beside you who you really want to date just brushed your shoulder. Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. No, I know. Okay. It's good to search out what are God's preferences in the way he wants to be loved, the way he wants to be worshiped. This is not correctional. This is just, hey, it's relationship advice, but listen, it'll help some of the songs that people send Brad sometimes. All right. Being in close relationship with someone means honoring that person's preferences, right? It's not, hey, you know, Brad, I want to connect with you, so I want to watch Masterpiece Theater because that's how I would connect with my mom. I'd do laundry at her house, watch Masterpiece Theater, right, and eat her leftovers. It was wonderful, kind of about me. It's fine. All right, you know, God, Brad, I want to watch Masterpiece Theater. I want to eat sushi and chocolate-covered strawberries. How I honor him is, come on, what am I going to do? I'm going to put on a Schwarzenegger movie. I'm going to make pizza and quesadillas. And then we'll eat them again the next day. It's fine, okay? He does share with me now. He gets those for me. I love it. And then we're going to get Perrydale ice cream. How many times do you come home and I'm like, do not feel like leaving the house? And he's like, I feel like we need to go to Perrydale. And I was like, I'm going to go to Perrydale, which I love that ice cream, by the way. But that's what he wants to do. We're going to do that. Go pet the cows, whatever. All right. So now we're going to go in a place and you're like, Pastor Sherry, oh boy, you're going there. Okay, so I set you up, right? We're going to read scripture about how God wants to be worshiped, how he wants to receive love. And all the spouses are elbowing and da-da-da-da, and they're forwarding this to their fiance and the, you know, whatever. Okay, about relationships and our relationship with God. Psalms 141, verse 2. We're going to honor his preferences, make ourselves a living sacrifice. That means we're not going to wiggle off the altar because I don't feel like it. Sacrifice is doing things that you don't want to do. It's investment because it makes the other person happy. Or feel seen or feel known. Psalms 141, verse 2. Let my prayers be counted as incense before you. We talk about, there's some incense songs we sing here, and I go, Brad, man, I probably need to teach on it, so we're going to do that. Let my prayers be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer is just talking to God. Praise is talking to God, but about very specific things he wants to hear. Let my prayers be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. All right, so scholars said that this particular scripture was written by David when he was on the run in the wilderness, running for his life from his rebellious son Absalom, who was trying to kill him. And we talked about that story a couple weeks ago. But let's just say he was feeling betrayed, heartbroken, alone, like his whole world is falling apart. I mean, his heart was in a heavy place. He probably just wanted to like stay home in his PJs and drink coffee and just wallow and just, you know, listen to like sad songs from the 90s all day long. There's a lot of sad songs in the 90s. I'm a kid of the 90s, but you could wallow through the 90s on the radio all day long. I like the 80s, man. Just like Snap and Wake Me Up Before You Go Go. Okay, no, radio. Right. We did do, but man, there's like extra in the 90s. Nirvana and all that fun stuff. Why are you talking about this, Sherry? I'm focused. People religious are like, oh my gosh, what is she talking about? We're focusing. 5 hours of sleep, y'all. Okay. So scholars said that this particular scripture where he says, let my praise, let my prayers, let my words to you be like incense before you, lifting up my hands as an evening sacrifice. David, who was the worshiping warrior king, he was like the rock star worshiper. He wrote songs. He had instruments. He invented instruments for worship. Like, he was the worship guy. He loved worshiping God. And his manly, people were like, well, no, it's like girl time, like worshiping. David was like the warrior. Like, I don't even know. He danced like shirtless with like muscles and like war paint. It's like, yeah, Jesus! You don't have to do that here. That's your alone time with God. It's fine. But here we are. David was a worshiping warrior who loved to worship the Lord. He craved it. He wanted to be at the temple, but he couldn't be at temple. How many people know we can't be at temple every day? We can't be at church every day because we have this thing called a life outside of church, and you should. But he was feeling so down in his heart, he wanted to connect with God. And this is what he said. First of all, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, because you should know who you're quoting, right? It's good to know who you're quoting. You can quote Satan in the Bible. You can quote like Pharisees. You got to know who you're quoting. David, the worshiping warrior, the Bible says was a man after God's heart. What does that mean? That's a man. He was imperfect. He messed up a lot, but he was always pursuing connection with God. Always, and he was quick to repent when he messed up. How many people mess up with like your best friend or whatever? It's just good. I stink. I'm so sorry I messed up. Let's reconnect. Let's hang out. All right, he wanted to worship God in the tabernacle, but he couldn't. He's in the wilderness, right? He wanted to get as close to God as he could possibly get because there's healing and freedom in his presence. Like the pain in his heart, he knew, would melt away in the presence of God. I just want to be with him right now. But he couldn't physically be here. How many know every time you have a bad day, please don't be knocking on the door to like come up here and drag Brad out here from his job to like go worship with you. You can worship God every second of the day where you're at. Praise God for the New Testament. The better deal. Okay. So in the Old Testament, you would go to the temple, right? And there was the inner sanctuary, the inner place, the Holy of Holies, God's man room. You know the man room? You know where the place, whatever is in your man room. God was in the Ark of the Covenant, was in this Holy of Holies. It was God's inner sanctum. And there was a veil or this curtain that was as thick as a person's hand, around 3.5 inches for you exacto people, type A's, okay, thick. And it separated where the people could not go into the Holy of Holies. I think a priest could go once a year. All right, I'm losing people. That's fine. We'll go back later. What was just outside the veil, the piece of furniture that was just outside the veil, was this table with incense on it that were constantly be burning. The priest's job was to keep the incense going. Remember 90s when incense were in? Okay, you know, they just always had this sweet-smelling aroma. Brad gave me perfume for, I think, my birthday one year. And when I put it on, it's because I want Brad's attention. Because he got me that perfume. David goes, I might not, at the Old Testament, he couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, right? But I want to get as close to God as I can get. I want as much of him as I can get. God, let my prayers, let my words to you be as close to you as I can possibly get. And let it be a sweet smell, an aroma, something that you like. He liked incense back then, all right? And he goes, I can't be in the temple right now. But I want to be as close to you as I can get, that my words would be sweet to your ears. I want to be as close to your presence as I can get, that my words would be sweet. There's something you want to listen to. They would make you smile. When I put on my perfume, it makes Brad smile. Why? Because he gave it to me and it smells good. And I'm thinking of him. David's using this prophetic imagery in the Bible. Of he's worshiping in the spirit. He's going to a deep place. And how many people know when you go to a deep place with God, he will reveal mysteries to you. And this was recorded for a reason. Revelations 8:4, which is written a long, long, long time in the future by John the Revelator, right? Okay, it's the last one. He wrote this. He said this: "The smoke and fragrant aroma of the incense with the prayers of the saints, God's people, ascend before God." Way later. So he kind of tapped into something that God was going to record again. That the prayers of the people of God would be like a sweet aroma and incense that would come before God. Okay, so what are we saying here? So remember what David said? Let's go back and reread it. Psalms 141, verse 2. "Let my prayers be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice." David's saying this: "I want to get as close to you as I can get, and I want my words to be pleasing to you, to be honoring, to be loving. I want to love you the way you want to be loved. I want to make you smile." You know, when you get around something that smells good, when my mom's baking, I want to be in the kitchen. Why? I want to be the first one to, you know, trim the little cake. You know, trim the cookies, trim the pie, whatever. Okay? There's something about a fragrance that draws you in. I want my words to be a fragrance. Draw near to God so he'll draw near to you. I want my words to be sweet to you. I want to talk about what you want to talk about. And then he said this, remember? "And let me lift my hands as the evening sacrifice." 2 Samuel 24:24. David said this: "I can't offer the Lord, my God, a sacrifice that costs me nothing." I can't offer to God a sacrifice that didn't cost me anything. It's not a sacrifice if it's the way you want to do it. It's not a sacrifice for me to eat sushi every night of the week. It's a sacrifice for me to eat pizza every night of the week. Because that's the fragrance. My husband doesn't want to smell cold, rubbery fish every day when he comes home. He wants to smell the pizza in the oven, right? There's a sacrifice. David's saying, "I want to bless God's heart with a sacrifice that he wants. Not because I feel like giving it to him." We'll talk about Cain and Abel next week. That dropped in me. "I can't physically be in the temple right now, close to the Holy of Holies, but I'm going to lift my hands like an evening sacrifice. I want to sacrifice to God the way he wants sacrifice. I want to lift my hands like the evening sacrifice because it makes you smile. It blesses your heart. I want to put on the perfume that you like." David was moved by the Holy Spirit to talk about the sacrifice of hands lifted in worship. I don't know why God loves hands so much. He just likes them. And listen, there are people that don't have arms. How do they worship? Worship's of the heart. So, like, you know what I mean? But for some reason, God says this in multiple places in Scripture: "I like hands." It's a surrender. It's something that you kind of have to mindfully do. How many people know when I'm distracted during worship, I will sometimes do something physically that gets me out of my head to go, "I am surrendering." So this word "hand" comes from the Hebrew word "yad," yad. You know, yada, 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 yad, okay? Yad is the word for hands. Yada means to wave your hands. Ready for that, Heather? Wave your hands, all right? For some reason, God likes hands. Okay, the transliteration, which I had to look up that word because it's not a word I use, but it means it's a translation that also sounds like the original word. So the word, Hebrew word yad for hands, yada means wave your hands, yad. Everybody, you know, yada, 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 yada. Okay, we're waving our hands. Yada transliterates, or basically the word translates to Judah. Where are you going from this? Anybody know what the word Judah means? Praise. Hands waving in the air. For some reason, the Hebrews got it. They got it because that's just how you praise God. Glory. What's up with the hand thing? I don't know. Why didn't he say I'm glad he didn't say elbows. It's just, we're all, if all you got is elbows, fine, whatever, okay. I don't know. But he said hands. And he's into like the whole waving of hands, right? That's his Schwarzenegger, you know? That's he's into it. I can't explain why. He likes hands. He likes hands waving to him in praise. We give a sacrifice, not because we feel like it, because that's how he wants to be loved. it might be a little awkward sometimes. I'm terrible at shooting. I'm like the least focused. It's probably concerning for me. Brad probably needs to clear out the whole shooting range when I'm at the range with Brad because I am not focused. And like I blink when I shoot, whatever. I like tried. Stacy's actually a really good shot. We learned how to shoot together at age 11 in the hunter safety course. She's a great shot. My sister Joy is a great shot. I'm like, what? I'm a people person. I want to connect with people, not by holding a gun. Okay, so for some reason, he's into hands, waving, and that's praise. And I'm going to love God where he's at, and I'm going to worship him the way he wants to be worshipped, because not because I feel like it, because that's what he wants. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands. Pastor Sherry, are you telling me how to worship? No, I'm going through Scripture, and there's a lot of different ways in Scripture. You want to talk about finance? Nope, keep talking about hands. Love talking about hands. Let's not talk about offering finances. Okay, let's stay on hands. You guys want to talk about hands? Let's talk about hands. Yep, love it, love it. That one always goes over a lot better now. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a sacrifice of praise that involves hands. It's scriptural. How many people know it's good? There are no roller skates in the Bible. Sorry, guys. Not going to happen. It's a sign of surrender. Even in modern day, what? I surrender. It's awkward. No man wants to walk into a building and be like, yeah, what's up? Maybe on the dance floor. Fine. We're going to stop. Focus. Fine. Hebrews. Let's talk about scripture. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice, which means you don't feel like doing it. You do it because he wants it. The sacrifice of praise to God. You know, hands is one of the ways, right? How do people know? If I want to make my husband's heart come alive and I want him to get the spark, I praise him for things he's done. And he's so excited when I notice it. You know, how many girls, hey, I got my hair cut this week. Honey, hey, did you see my hair? Do you like it? Yes, I do. Okay. Honey, thank you so much for changing my oil. Sweetheart, you went out there after a really hard day's of work and you, mowed the lawn. Thank you so much. God, thank you so much for going out of your way to pick up diapers. And you're awesome. You're so handsome. I try to go out of my way every day to not just tell Brad how handsome and wonderful and smart and kind he is and hilarious because I laugh louder to the point of snorting. I snort. I snort when I laugh at his jokes because he's so funny. I try to say things, but I also try to do things. I try to serve him first in my family. He's the head of our family. So listen, if I bake a pie, which is 'tis the season, okay, I'm going to give him the biggest slice of pie and I'm going to serve him first. Tithes and offerings. Biggest slice of pie, serve him first before Uncle Sam. Think about that. Okay. It's a sacrifice. I'm not going to sacrifice anything to God that doesn't cost me something, even if I don't feel like it. Praise can be with words. It can be with actions. But it's about what? Worship him in spirit and truth. It's the posture of your heart. It's the sincerity. And that's the fight. It's a fight not only to do the things, it's a fight to mean it. I mean, you can be like, honey, I love you. What'd you hear? Sarcasm. It's how and why we say certain things. All right, Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. It says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice to praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. So we can praise him like this. We can praise him with our words. Giving thanks to his name, giving thanks to him. He wants to be thanked. If you can't think of anything else because you had a really bad day and you feel like God's not in your corner and it's just, well, guess what? It's not promised to be rainbows and sunshine being a Christian. It's hard. You're going to have hard days, seasons, even a hard life, but he saved you from the pit of hell. And he gave you peace despite the chaos. And I'll connect with him in worship and get above that. It says, do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices to God as well-pleasing. It also talked about doing good and sharing. So there are other ways to praise him, right? But it's the sincerity of his heart, of our heart. We'll talk about that maybe later. So the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, okay? Now these are the churches back in the day. These were the people that back in the day in the Jewish temple, they had 1,000 traditions of connecting with God. And tons of symbols. And you know, the hardest one that cost them so much was getting up your favorite cow. How many people like burgers? I love burgers. It's good to get a cow, put it in your freezer. But if you gave your whole cow to God and you had to eat vegetables for like a whole month, that's sacrifice, okay? Old Testament, man, they gave them their best cow, their best sheep, their best goat. Okay, that was a sacrifice. It was a blood sacrifice, which was just setting them up for Jesus. And they're used to this, and they're like, you know, how are we supposed to worship now? Because we don't have to do animal sacrifices. Why? Old Testament, you sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, the shedding of blood. Just set us up to receive Jesus. Because guess what? Jesus was the ultimate blood sacrifice. He willingly offered himself up as a living sacrifice and died for us, shed his blood, paid the sin debt. Your whole mortgage got paid off. All the stupid things we've ever done in our life, past, present, and future, totally paid for. So in the New Testament, we don't have to sacrifice animals for our sins because our sins were already paid for. So God, I kind of like, you know, serving you. How do I serve you now in the New Testament? You don't have to do the messy blood animal sacrifices. Thank God, okay? It's way better to offer what a continual sacrifice of praise with our lips, our mouth. This is a throwback reference to what? Psalms 141 verse 2. God, that my prayers, my words to you would be like a sweet aroma. I want to talk about you. I want to thank you for who you are and what you've done. I want it to be sweet to you. I want to talk about what you want to talk about. What are your interests? What's your heart for the lost, for people? I want to talk about you. And I will lift my hands as an evening sacrifice of surrender. Why are they referencing this whole lifting of hands thing? Because like David was a really big deal to the Jews, right? He was like their favorite guy. You know, it's like everybody talks about George Washington, the favorite president, mostly because you can remember him. George Washington, Lincoln, the only two you can remember, okay? So they're their favorite. They talk about King David all through the Bible. Tons of books about King David. He was a big deal. He was a worshiping warrior king that wrote a lot of scripture because he was in the secret place of God and God would give him divine downloads in the atmosphere of worship. I hear his voice so clearly when I'm just all about him. Man, I was hearing God so clearly at worship night the other week. I had like four things that God was talking to me about and other people. It was just so awesome. God divinely, prophetically downloaded in David a way to worship him that doesn't involve animal sacrifice, but it'll still cost you something. But thankfully, everybody's got him. And if you don't have arms, ask him what he wants you to connect with him in. It's okay. Okay? Some people can't stand the whole way through worship. They physically can't do that. That's okay. It's the posture of your heart. What's that sacrifice? What's something physically you can do that is uncomfortable that you really don't want to do? It's a sacrifice to him. Because it'll get me out of my head and go, I'm going to get my mind aligned with giving you what you want. All right. So now it says this in scripture. Okay, 1 Peter 2:5. It says, you yourselves are like living stones being built up as spiritual houses to be a holy priesthood. Holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices, not the blood of animals, of goats and stuff like that. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are to be building up the house of God. This is God's house. We are also God's house. Through spiritual sacrifices. What? How does God want to be loved? Words, actions, so forth. But it's all about the heart. Because this is acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So that means our worship needs to be through Jesus. Okay. I'm going to think about this. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'm going to kind of hit a thought here. Psalms 57, verse 7 through 8. I'm going to kind of bring it home here. This is David talking once again. He said, my heart is steadfast. That means rock solid and focused, right? How many people know during worship, I have to fight to keep my thoughts rock solid and focused on God? And sometimes you got to keep telling yourself. He goes, my heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake my glory, awake. Oh harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. David is swept up in worship to God, and he wants to give God the best part of him. And he's fighting to stay focused. He's fighting to give him his best. He's fighting to stay present. So this word glory, you know, we talk about the glory of God, and I'll talk about it in the future. The word glory means awaited presence, right? That's the one we kind of know. I did a little study here. When we talk about our glory, how many people know God gave us glory? You can go read that. And we what? Give it back to him. So this word for glory means kabod, K-A-B-A-D. And it has multiple meanings, but I want to focus on this. It's the best of you. It's what you bring to the table. It's what you bring to the table. It's what you bring when you walk in the room. How many people have skill sets and passions and things? Like, if you want to know some things about music, you're going to talk to Brad, because that's what he kind of brings to the table. And he also brings a presence to him, right? It's who God created him to be. It's the deposit in you. It's the weight in you. It's the weight you carry in a conversation. It's your expertise. It's part of who you are. It's the spark that caused your spouse to fall in love with you, because it made you different than everyone else. And David goes, I am going to fight. Awake my soul. I don't feel like it. It's morning. I never feel like doing anything in the morning. I just want a cup of coffee. That's drugs. It's fine. Don't judge. All right. Awake my soul. Awake. Woo. Yes, I'm awake. I'm awake. I'm awake. Okay. Woo. I'm here. I made it. Okay. I'm going to stay focused. And every time my head goes to 10 other things in this 1 minute trying to talk to God and worship to God, it's okay, God. I'm back. Awake. Whew. My glory, awake, oh harp and lyre. Yeah, there's some music involved. It's just a tool. It's one of the ways we can worship him, right? I will awaken the dawn. And David's saying this, I will worship you with the best of myself. I will worship you with my presence. How many people know, as a spouse, you can be present, but not, you can have presence with someone, but not be present. So when, especially you're driving in the car really long time, and it's just after a really long day, and you got to go somewhere right at 5 o'clock, you know, and your spouse is talking a really long time about something that you are pretending you're interested in. And nodding and smiling will get you so far in the car, right? Now notice this in the car while you're not looking at each other. Try to do it at the dinner table. It's going to last a minute. In the car, you can get away with smiling and nodding. Until they ask you a question, or they're waiting for, ready for this, your response. Oops, got caught. Yeah, sorry, honey. Yes, I'm so sorry. I faded out in that one moment. I was thinking about all the things I got to do today. Honey, please forgive me. Can you, what were you saying again? Just own it. Just, it's fine. You know, it's just life. Okay, because we can be present with someone in church. We can be physically there, but we're not present. We're not attentive. We're not passionate. God wants this word kabod, and I don't have time to really develop it, is who you are, the best of you, and all of your what, and all of your glory, and all the weight of who you are, your passion. I want to be present with you when we're talking, with everything. So, like in marriage, God wants all of you. He doesn't want to share you with another. Roxanne doesn't want to share you with another. He wants your thoughts. Idols in our life are distractions that we put before God. And God says this, when you worship an idol, when you give something else, whether it be the game or all your responsibilities, of all the things you got to do at the house, before God, when he wants to talk to you, that's an idol in your life. And he says in the Bible that idolatry is spiritual prostitution. Roxanne, turn off the red light. I want you. You want to go into Bible, Old Testament, he will fight for you. He doesn't care about your past. That's my girl. So what do you do when you're distracted? Honey, I'm so sorry. I was just thinking about something else. I do this. I was not paying attention. Forgive me. What were you saying? It's okay. Just make the relationship right. Move on. Okay. God wants us. He wants all of us. He is a jealous God. I could give you 5-6 scriptures for how jealous he is for your time and attention. But we all get distracted, so don't beat yourself up. Come on, in marriage, listen, what do you do? Just make it right. Honey, I'm so sorry. I was thinking about all the things I have to do right now. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to watch? What do you want to eat? God, how do you want me to worship you today? With your whole heart. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And as you get distracted, just like Pastor Cherry, 20 times. Oh, sorry. Maybe you're dealing with shame, beating yourself up for your inadequacies. Just tell shame to go in the name of Jesus. Woo! thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You're thinking about your kid. They're stressing you out. They're not living for the Lord. You're worried about them. They're in danger. Jesus, I surrender them to you. Thank you in faith for saving them. Thank you, you're in process. I'm going to thank him not only for what he's done, but what I'm in faith that he's going to do based on the promises of his word. I'm going to tell those fighting thoughts to be quiet in Jesus' name. I'm probably going to sing a little bit louder. If you're not a big singer, I can say it. What? Your lips need to be sincere. I can say my own words off the screen because all of a sudden I have to pay attention because I just, it's talking about one thing on the screen and I just need to right now, God, thank you for saving my daughter. Woo! Gosh, it's breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart. I'm so worried about them. I'm scared for them. Jesus, you got them. In those moments, it got real sincere, right? Okay. So we're end this. Okay, the word yad, hands, right? Got hands? Yada means wave your hands, means praise. God just doesn't want your physical actions, but he really likes hands. He really likes you doing something uncomfortable that you don't feel like doing. He really likes surrender. Elbows, whatever, your time, okay? He really likes surrender. Physical things that we do. Make sure there's scripture for it, or just do it at home, okay? Kabod means presence. Your passionate presence. God wants hands or physical, like just doing something, a sacrifice to him, right? And he wants you to be present with him. Passionate presence. Whole heart sincerity. And when you physically surrender to the Lord and worship him, you guys can stand up. I'm not going to make you do anything. Just standing up wakes people up. It's fine. And also it gives me accountability to end, okay? God likes hands. He likes a physical action of sacrifice. There's multiple ways in the Bible to do it, right? Words, hands, offering, giving good things, sharing. There's different ways. But when you physically obey him to connect with him and love him the way he wants to be loved, worship him the way he wants to be worshiped, putting him first, giving him the biggest cut, whatever it may be, and then you combine it with the weighted presence of who I am, I'm going to fight to be present with him. God, you want me to love you this particular way and to show that love a particular way? I also need to be mindfully present with you, and I'm going to fight for it. Because even David was like, I'm steadfast. I'm focused. I'm fighting it. I am going to be fully present. I, by glory, who I am, my weighted presence, whoo, yes, I'm with you right now. You may not be as exuberant as I am, but you know when you're fighting the thoughts. And when your physical actions of what he wants you to do, the sacrifice of what you don't feel like doing, aligns with a fully present heart, because he doesn't want you to do things out of obligation. That's religion. That's works. How many people know sometimes you just want someone to sit with you and not do 1,000 things for you? Just sit with me. Just be with me. And be present with me. Listen to me. And when what? Physical connection and sacrifice connects with your heart of sincerity, fighting to be present, we all fight for it. Then his glory shows up. His kabod, his weighted presence of who he is. Yes, he's always here, but it says this in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. God, I want to connect with you. Spray, spray, spray. I want my words to be a fragrant perfume, a fragrant offering. I want to talk about what you want to talk about. I want to thank you. I want to give you glory. And I'm going to fight to keep my heart present in this moment. And it's okay when you wander in and out, Lord. I'm fighting for this moment with you. And he goes, wow, you want to connect with me in intimacy and sincerity? You want to worship me with spirit and truth? I'm showing up. When we cater to him and how he wants to be loved and what he wants to talk about in his word, he shows up. And it's not always goosebumps. You know what the presence of God is? Peace. It is the absence of panic, anxiety, all these other things where that's when anxiety is your normal. Listen, God's like, I want to give you peace. I am peace. Come hang out with me. And there's miraculous things when God's presence and our presence are fully connected. Amen. All right, we're going to leave it there. Let's just pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just lift my hands out of habit because I just need you so much. I'm a mom. I don't even know what I'm doing. God, I need you so much. Lord, we surrender to you. We lay our lives as a living sacrifice, Lord, that our words would be pleasing to you. God, we love you. Thank you for saving. Just, you know, let's just go into a point of, it says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. I'm just going to take 1 minute, maybe 30 seconds. Ask the Lord how he wants to be worshiped. I'm not making you raise your hands. I'm not making you do it. It's just one of the ways. But whatever you don't feel like doing, that's sacrifice. But align your heart, right? Spirit and truth. It's not a show. It's not just doing stuff. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We fight to focus on you. Just start thanking him for what he's done in your life. Thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you that I have a safe place to sleep at night. God, thank you so much. Thank you for putting these people in my life to do life with. Jesus, thank you that you are peace, the Prince of Peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy. Lord God, I just thank you for your freedom that I have in you, Jesus. I thank you for the Bible that I own one, unlike other places in this country where they can't even get a hold of one. It's illegal. Thank you. Thank you. You who began a good work are bringing it to completion. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.